Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. So glad to have you listening, and a very happy Tuesday to you. Well, today we're talking about the fact that you, that's you, are called to share the good news in a way that actually fits who you are, but also stretches your faith and even calls you out of your comfort zone. So are you ready for this? Well, my guest today writes this. She says, God wants to use your beautiful feet, but are they willing to go? Like me, you might have doubts, fears, and insecurities swirling around in your mind. And it's likely that they've immobilized you with overbearing guilt that you aren't sharing Jesus, or gotten you caught up in comparing yourself to other people who fit an ideal of what it means to be a faithful witness. But Paul's words in Romans applies to you too. How beautiful are your feet that bring good news? What holds you back from believing that God calls your beautiful feet too? Let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get her on the show. Jessica Leipfig is a writer and evangelist for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, preaching, teaching, and doing evangelism training at conferences, churches, and campuses across the country. She has a master's degree in evangelism and lives in Cleveland, Ohio, with her husband and two sons. You can find her on the web at jessicaleipfig.com. Jessica, nice to meet you, and welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me on today, Susie.
Absolutely. Well, we start out all of our conversations talking scripture, and you chose a great passage, Romans 10:15, and how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring the good news. Talk about that verse and when it first really impacted you, Jessica.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I always thought this was such a feminine verse. I can't really picture a lot of guys saying, boy, man, you got some beautiful feet. But it's coupled with this really bold exhortation to go and help people hear the gospel and preach it to them. And, you know, that's something everybody is called to do. And so I was leading a seminar on how women can share their faith authentically and vibrantly at the Urbana Missions Conference back in 2006. And I just felt like the Lord said, you need to let my women know you have beautiful feet. You need to help them see that they are called to go and not just demonstrate the gospel, but actually speak about it in a way that's bold and loving.
Well, in your book, you tell the story. If I remember right, I think you were a teenager even when God spoke to your heart and said, I'm calling you to go to be an evangelist. And your response was to cry and put your face on the ground and sob guttural sobs.
Yes. Yeah, it was really scary because I was so afraid because I just didn't know of many role models besides, you know, Becky Pippert, who wrote Out of the Salt Shaker. And it was scary to think about, you know, am I going to be seen as one of those creepy televangelists? You know, I don't want to be that person. I want to be an authentic, good friend who listens well and not come off as some sort of pushy salesman. So because I hadn't seen too many models, it was really hard for me to think about what that might mean for my life.
And so how did you start through that process? Because I would imagine God has called a number of people to things that are way out of their comfort zone, and they thought, you know, I think I'll turn around and run the other way. I mean, how did you put one foot in front of the other, and what were some of the fears that you sorted through?
Yeah, that is a great question. And you're right. Like, we often have those choices to say, I'm going to press into God and see where he's taking me in this scary journey, or we're going to run away, right? I mean, we see that all throughout scripture. So I think the best thing for me was confessing my fears in community and other Christians speaking into my life to say, hey, you don't need to figure this out alone. We're here to pray with you and talk with you and help you figure out the best way for you to live into this call God has on your life, just like, you know, we're all meant to do. So it was just kind of reassuring. I remember, you know, just talking with some friends and saying, like, guy supposed to be the only one preaching the gospel? And is it okay that I really, you know, enjoy fashion and pop culture and things like that and telling people about Jesus? I don't know how all those things fit together. And they said, well, you know, Jesus does. And let's pray that you can keep taking steps of obedience to figure that out.
And what, maybe tell me this, if there was a mentor, somebody said something to you that you still carry with you today, like one of the most helpful things that you heard to help you continue on in the call God had.
Yeah, that is a great question. One of my early supervisors, Andrea Thomas with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, once told me that you're responsible to people, but you're not responsible for them. And that has kind of stuck with me as a life mantra, especially when it comes to sharing the gospel, that I'm responsible to share the good news. I'm responsible to living out my faith in word and deed. But ultimately, God is the one that's responsible to change their hearts. He's the only one that can bring about salvation. And so every time I've been afraid and nervous and just kind of wondered, you know, is this really what you want me to do? I'm nervous to talk with this friend. I'm nervous to talk with this family member. He just reminds me, hey, all I have called you to do is share the gospel, and I'm the one who's responsible for bringing people to salvation.
You know, one other thing that tends to make us shy away or self-preserve in this calling that God leads us to is that when we get into these new places, these unknown zones, so to speak, and the pressure mounts, our own stuff rises to the surface because we don't come exactly ready-made. I mean, the call is in us and God is with us, but we still have stuff to sort out, inconsistencies to deal with, soul wounds to be healed, lies we believe, all that. And I'm remembering a story when you were facing, I think, a elder board of men, and you were, as a young woman, were ready to represent the ministry. I think it was InterVarsity, and you're about to give a report. And a mom comes in with a baby on her hip, and the baby's crying. And the mom came in and delivered some documents to her husband, who sat on that board. But otherwise, you felt very outnumbered. Tell us that story and kind of what surfaced for you and where you had to put all of that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, I was a young woman in ministry trying to figure out my place. And definitely as, you know, the only woman in the room, the youngest person in the room, I was really intimidated. And so I think I had carried in with me a lot of baggage and weight of just kind of feeling like I was always sitting at the kids' table. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, we, you know, just not feeling included or validated in ministry. And so seeing that mom, I didn't have kids at the time. I have two sons now. And seeing that mom just kind of brought all those fears to the surface of saying, you know, you're not worthy, women aren't worthy. And it was totally just a lie from the evil one saying, you know, to distract me from what I was there to do, which is to talk about how students were meeting Jesus and to invite them to partner with our ministry. It was a moment that I've spent a lot of time unpacking and wondering, why did I see that sister in Christ that way? And really, that was more about me than about her. And it was my own fears of seeming like I was unimportant, seeming, fearing that I would be discounted because I was a woman or because I have blonde hair or because I'm short and, you know, have a curvy physique, and just fearing that people's perceptions of me, that they would just discount me and think, well, she's not a witness. She's not someone who can preach the gospel. She's not someone who the Holy Spirit can use with power. And yeah, after that experience, I was just really convicted, especially thinking about all the unlikely folks that God has used through scripture, that I just was spending so much time focusing on myself and my own fears that I was forgetting about the God that I serve and how he uses all of us to share his gospel message and proclaim his gospel message.
I really appreciate you telling that story, Jessica. And I brought it up for a reason, because on one hand, we are invited to share what God has done. And on the same hand, I should say, we are still works in progress, and we need not to be afraid of that fact. But when we step out in faith, stuff is going to surface, and our tendency can be to compensate, medicate, shove it down, make excuses for it. But I think if we really want to mature and be as effective as we can be, when that stuff comes up, let God speak to it and heal it, because there's no condemnation in Christ, right?
That's right. That's right. And also to talk with our you know, with our communities about it. I remember talking with some girlfriends and say, oh, I was in this situation where I had to present a ministry report and I was so nervous and so intimidated. And, you know, I've just found that so many other women feel the same way, but we often don't talk about it. And so that has become a great place of prayer and support and community to say, you know what, you're not alone. I have fears that hold me back as well. And I have junk from my past and baggage, negative experiences that come to mind that, you know, make me want to run away in fear, but I'm here to stand with you even when you feel scared and weak.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is our fear of man is the very thing that keeps us and holds us back. But as we get free, mm-hmm. more and more free from that fear of man, boy, we yeah. become downright dangerous in the best way for the Lord. And I remember speaking
yes.
at a conference, you know, I had told a story, and part of the story was still really tender for me. And I wasn't sure about sharing it, but I did. And this woman came up, and she could barely speak. She was crying, grabbing my arms, thanking me from the bottom of her heart for that story.
Mm.
Half hour later, Jessica, another woman who kept her distance, hands on her hips, her head tilted just so, going, aren't you afraid people are going to totally pick you apart for sharing such a personal story? And I said, yes, like you maybe. Yes, but I remember going to bed that night thinking, two totally different responses from the same sincere offering. And that's when the Lord just grabbed my chin and said, this has to always be for me. You know, those outcomes have to be in my hands. But I think that's the stuff we're afraid of, but you survive it, don't you?
You do. And you get tougher skin and you realize God is faithful. And it's interesting, when I was doing research for the book, I came across this business book called The Confidence Code, and it talked all about, it was for women in business in the workplace, but I felt like it had a lot of stuff to speak into women who are trying to share their faith and live out their faith. And they talked about this principle of failing fast, that so many times as women, we can be perfectionists and think, well, I've got to get it just right, and I've got to craft the words exactly right, or make the brownies perfectly, or, you know, whatever, to have the best outfit to go run that 5K I've always been talking about running. And the reality is, like, you just need to go out and do it. And failure is not going to end us. And God is still faithful in the midst of our failure. And just reading that reminded me of my own experiences of, you know, feeling dumb when I shared my faith, or not exactly having the right answer, but realizing, like, those actually built my confidence, because I, you know, I could go back to Jesus and he reminded me, like, hey, you did what you're supposed to do. You shared your faith. You stepped out. And you know what? Your life isn't over. Your friendships haven't ended. And, you know, like, I still love you, most importantly.
Mm-hmm. Like my hubby always says, they can't take away my birthday. So that's good news, right?
Yes, that's right.
Hey, you can't take away my birthday.
You can still party. That's right.
Talking to Jessica Liebfick about evangelism. When we come back, I'm going to ask, Jessica, I'm going to give you a setup here. I want to know how your view of evangelism has changed and evolved over the years, if it has. And what exactly is evangelism for those who are afraid of it? More with Jessica Liebfick in a moment.
Your love is like a mighty fire deep inside my bones. I feel like I could climb a thousand mountains all at once. And I never have to wonder if somebody cares for me. I love the Maker, and the Maker loves me.
Have you paused recently to think about that? The one who put the stars in place, told the waters where to stop and the land where to begin? That Maker, He loves you. And isn't that what evangelism is to live in response to God's love, love other people, tell them about the love of Christ? We make it so scary, and I'm right there. I'm an introvert, really am. And so to go to a stranger and share the love of God seems scary as all get out. But evangelism doesn't have to be so impossible. There are smaller steps, shorter places you can go as you acquire the faith to step out and share what God has done for you. I'm talking to Jessica Liebfick, and the title of her book is Beautiful Feet, Unleashing Women to Everyday Witness. And she's writing to women. I want you to know we're speaking to both men and women because we are invited by God to share the love of God. And I was wondering, Jessica, as I set it up before the break, talk about evangelism for a moment. I'm wondering if your idea and understanding of what evangelism is has evolved or changed over the years. Speak to that if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it has changed a lot. I think I used to feel a lot of pressure, and I think a lot of women feel pressure, like I have to get out there and kind of spit out some sort of gospel script and get someone to pray a prayer, and that's really what evangelism is. And the more I spent time in scripture, the more I saw helpful models of what it actually meant to share my faith, I realized, it's like the Mother Teresa quote, it's small things with great love. And it's the love that comes from God that comes through, whether it's in word or deed. And everybody is, on a spiritual journey. I know that's a little cliche to say, but people are at different points. And so it might be the casserole that you bring to a non-Christian friend that realizes, like, wow, I have a friend who cares about me. And, I've never had someone who's a Christian actually do something kind for me. Or it could be, the time that you offer to pray for someone who doesn't know Jesus, that they just feel really touched that you would go before the God that you serve on their behalf. Or it could, be an invitation to church. It could be, hey, we have been friends for a long time, but we never talk about spiritual things. Can I hear a little bit about your spiritual background and, kind of what you think this whole life is about? I think I used to see it as more of a sales pitch and a transaction. And I think the parable of the sower was just hugely transformative in my life, and realized, like, our job is to scatter the gospel seed far and wide. And man, if Jesus could go out and know, like, some of that seed is going to hit, the path and never do anything. Some of that seed is going to go down and sprout up quickly and then die out. Some of it's going to be choked away by the thorns and the weeds, and some of it is going to grow, 60, 90, 100 fold. Like, if Jesus went out knowing those odds, I just felt like, hey, I can take comfort and, trust him with the results. So I think I've tried to, as opposed to thinking about, boy, this is a scary transaction I have to get my friend or stranger to participate in, this is an opportunity for me to speak about God's love in a way that is normal and natural and comfortable to who I am, and something that I would do to show love to anyone.
Boy, I love the distinction between the sales pitch and sowing seeds. I think when we think about it, my worst job in the world would be to have to do cold calls for sales. I'm like, just kill me now. Mm-hmm. Truly, I would be making the call going, you don't want this, right? Okay, bye, thanks. It would just be horrifying to me. But I think that is how so many think of evangelism. And there's so few that are cut out for that kind of sales pitch. And even to carry that thought further, people on the receiving end of a sales pitch feel like a project. So I can't imagine that it's very effective anyway, right?
Yep, that's right. That's right. That's a horrible feeling if you've ever been in that position where you feel like someone's trying to manipulate you and sell you something. You can smell that a mile away when people aren't authentic. But if someone actually wants to listen to you and where you're at and ask you some pretty sincere questions because they care about you and love you, whether you've met them, in 5 minutes at a MOPS meeting or you've known someone for, 10 or 15 years or something, people can just see that you're genuine. And that's really what evangelism is all about, saying, hey, there's this big part of my life that I'm excited about or that I've been, kind of scared to share with you, but it's actually something really important to me. And I'd love if we could talk about those things that are important in our lives.
Very good. Here's a quote from the introduction of your book, Beautiful Feet. Evangelism is a mysterious process led by the Spirit, not by us. What is clear to us is that we're meant to build relationships and scatter seeds of the gospel liberally. Even if we have no idea what God has done and is doing in our friends' lives, the Holy Spirit is able to guide us into the next appropriate ways to help them meet Jesus. Love that. I want you to hear that again. The Holy Spirit is able to guide us into the next appropriate ways to help them meet Jesus. We can joyfully anticipate all the ways God is wooing our friends into relationship with him, yet prayerfully surrender control as we trust him to do the work that only he can do. It's good to dream, but we can't take things into our own hands. Wow, that's so good. I want you to say more about that process of faithfulness and surrender.
Yeah, that is a hard balance. And that's just the balance we have with faith, right? Of our dreams, our hopes, our plans, whether that's in evangelism or just in life in general, and what God is going to do in the moment, and being willing to say, all right, this is going to look a little bit different than I thought it would. years ago, I was taking a sabbatical to finish up my degree in evangelism and leadership at Wheaton Graduate School, and I was taking a break from preaching and teaching, and just getting really depressed because that's just kind of how God has wired me. And so I'd received an invitation to speak at an university chapter in Cleveland, and I'd said, "Oh, I shouldn't do this. I'm supposed to be resting." And my husband said, "Jess, like, you need to go and do this. Like, you are so depressed. Like, you just need to go and preach the gospel because that's how God has wired you." So I went, like, begrudgingly thinking, like, I'm not supposed to be doing this. And do you hear what I'm saying? Like, I was trying to follow the rules and, mm-hmm. Do what I thought I was supposed to be doing. So I preached the gospel and just kind of said, like, hey, if anyone's interested in learning more about what I shared tonight about, God providing the freedom in life through Jesus, come and talk to me afterwards. And there was a female student that came up to me and said, "Hey, this is my first time at an intervarsity meeting, and I have been trying to figure out this whole spiritual thing for a while, and what you said tonight really made a lot of sense. Like, can we pray for that to happen?" And I just about fell out of my seat. Wow. I was like, "Are you kidding me?" Like, I wasn't even anticipating it. I wasn't ready for it. But, because I showed up, even though I had a different plan and was just faithful to do what God had called me to do, he had put someone there who was ready to make a decision to follow him. And I just needed to open my mouth, be willing to see what happened. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like evangelism is like a shot of adrenaline to your spiritual life, because there is nothing that makes you depend on the Holy Spirit more than stepping out to share your faith. And so partly why I wrote this book was I know so many women can feel bored with their faith life and kind of feel like, is there more out there? They feel trapped because they just have these negative stereotypes of what evangelism is and just kind of don't know how to go about sharing their faith. And so I just really wanted to provide a resource that women could feel free to be themselves and to share Jesus and, get away from these stereotypes we all have about what it looks like to share the gospel.
And really, that makes it so organic and supernatural to trust in the Lord with your mm-hmm. whole heart and not lean on your own understanding, because we can reason ourselves mm-hmm. out of any wonderful move of God, don't you think?
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, we have those internal conversations, when the Holy Spirit's prompting us. And whether that's, a nudge to say, "Hey, invite your friend to church," or, "Hey, like, she seems really down about that. Why don't you ask her, like, have you prayed about it?" And, we're a holistic person, so we're wired body, mind, and spirit. And, when we start to sweat, when our heart starts to beat faster, when our palms start to get sweaty, that sometimes can be a pretty good indication the Holy Spirit is inviting us to take a faith risk. Mm-hmm. And we just need to go with it sometimes, because it's not going to be the end of the world if she says no, or, "Hey, I'm not really comfortable with you praying." Like, that's another opportunity to say, tell me about that. Like, have you had some negative experiences with Christians or prayer?" And for you to just be a loving friend and find out, like, what is the best way for me to care for you?
And Jessica, the kind of security would say, "Huh, tell me about that," where normally it would say, "Okay," and you would want to run the other way because it would be an indictment on us. So to be secure enough to just stay in the conversation, I think that's fantastic. Talking to Jessica Liebvick about evangelism and really destigmatizing it so we can follow the lead of the Holy Spirit and just do the next thing he tells us to do. More when we come back. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Jessica Liebvick about her book, Beautiful Feet, Unleashing Women to Everyday Witness. And again, guys, I'm talking to you, too, about the invitation to do the next thing God asks you to do, to share the love of Christ. And we make it so complicated and so scary, and I'm right in there with you. as really I'm wired introverted. I just am. I thrive in solitude. And so it seems really scary to reach out to a total stranger. But as Jessica's saying, it doesn't have to be that way. So we just walk intimately with God and respond to the nudge of the Spirit. That might be someone sitting next to us on the plane or a neighbor across the street. Just do the thing that God asks you to do and leave the outcome to Him. And I thought this was so interesting, Jessica. In the book, you ask these probing questions. And as I read these, friend of you who are listening, I want you to ask yourself these questions. And Jessica, you write, what are three things you like about how God has created you? It could be anything from having a natural compassion toward people to having strong legs that help you do long-distance runs. What are lies you've believed about yourself that have hindered you in life and in witness? I want you to hear it again. What are lies you've believed about yourself that have hindered you in life and witness? The reason I wanted to camp here for a moment, because I want you to make the connection between our own perception of ourselves and our own willingness to step out and share God's love with others.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a great point, and I'm glad you brought that up, Susie. I think so many of us, men and women, have this really nasty soundtrack that runs through our head a lot of times of, I'm too stupid, I'm too fat, I'm too boring, I'm too introverted, I'm too loud, I'm too much in, you know, toddler life, I'm too single, I'm too this or too that, that we stop believing that God can use us just in who He's made us to be, where He has us. And I think that evangelism, I love that you said the word destigmatizing evangelism before the break, because I think that's exactly what this is. Evangelism is a tool that God uses to help us get our eyes off ourselves and our own insecurities and our own inadequacies to say, you know what, I may feel this way about myself, but God doesn't. He loves me and sees me as His cherished son or daughter. He's created me in advance for the good works He's prepared for me to do. And I really think evangelism is a self-discovery tool of recognizing, here's how God's wired me. Here's how He's called me to love and to share Him with people. I mean, introverts, I know some introverts who are the most powerful witnesses ever because they have amazing empathy to be able to listen to others and loyalty to say, I'm going to walk with you through hard stuff and show you what gospel love actually looks like and help you to take the next appropriate step towards Jesus. Mm. And, you know, it's amazing. People don't have that kind of thing to say, that they don't have those kinds of relationships where folks are willing to take a risk and say, I care about you enough to try and take it a little bit deeper with you. And really, that's all evangelism is saying, like, let's take it a little bit deeper in our own lives to say, Jesus, like, what do you have for me? You have good things. You have freedom for me on the other side of fear. And you have faith on the other side of fear for our friends.
You know, who doesn't want to be sincerely loved? And if we can keep in step with the Lord and keep seeking God for a perspective that He has, His heart for that person, and love them from that place, I mean, truly, they're going to be drawn to us because there's a thousand other messages coming their way. And I'm wondering for you, Jessica, just how your own sense of identity has been impacted as you've trusted God more and more with this message of the gospel.
Yeah, I think, you know, so much I had felt like when people started to recognize I had gifts in evangelism, you know, it's really easy to start kind of typecasting people and saying, like, you're only known by your strengths, whether you're a runner or a good cook or, you know, player on the PTA, whatever. And so I started to feel like I have to live up to this expectation. And that just created a lot of I created a lot of pressure on myself. And, you know, that's just unhelpful in whatever you're trying to do in life. And so it was really through spiritual disciplines of silence and solitude that the Lord was able to speak to me and just say, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I love you for you, not because of what you can do or how hard you can work or how much you can share me. I love you. And it was through those moments of the Holy Spirit just speaking into those places of pain and insecurity and brokenness that I realized, oh my gosh, like He really does. Like He really does love me. And I know this intellectually, but, you know, it just had to get down to that soul level. And some of that was just in the silence and solitude. And that was really the thing that propelled me to go out to say, I want to love like this. Like, I want to love and help people to see that they're valued and loved, not because of what they do, how they look, the things in their past, but because Jesus loves them. And that really, my identity just started to be shaped from that, because, you know, it's so easy to define ourselves by what we do or what we have done or what we've had done to us in our past. And Jesus loves us for all those things, and yeah. He wants us to share that same love with others.
You know, Jessica, you hear the stats about young people, young adults leaving in droves and walking away from church and faith. I've talked to mm-hmm. some of those treasured souls, and some who, a couple that I know have just found their way back. But when they were exiting, they said, you know, all we've ever heard through youth group is preach the gospel, go out, bring your unsaved friends. And they said, we never once heard about God's relentless love for us, never once. And it's like, we were like a bunch of slaves, all looking the same, all needed to do it the same way. They're like, what's that? And truly, I think the pressure drove them away. And I want you to talk to that person maybe who stayed on the fringes in their faith, who only had the pressure, preach the gospel, bring your unsaved friends, but never for themselves heard the message. God is so passionately in love with you. He loves like you. Yeah. I mean, you are a woman who likes makeup and cute clothes, and you're snarky. And I mean, God just made you the way he made you. You know what I mean? And he loves you the way he made you. But he's not looking after millions of slaves that we all, robots, that we look the same and we're supposed all go do it the same. I want you to speak to that, because that feels like a huge deterrent to me to preaching the gospel.
Yeah. Oh, Susie, that is so huge. And I've seen so many of my friends and even family members affected by that. And I think that's really where the trap of evangelism becomes a sales pitch again, because it sadly becomes another way to just build a youth group or a church and look good, instead of saying, you know what, God's madly in love with you and passionate about connecting with you and helping you connect with your friends. And it is a turnoff. It's definitely been something I've been turned off by in my life. And, you know, if you're one of those people, like, I'm just so sorry about that. That is not what evangelism is about. That is not what the church is meant to be about, just getting, you know, numbers and butts and seats. It's really about saying, we want to bless you and love you, because that's who God is, and that's the kind of life we want to have. So, you know, maybe you have remained on the fringes of church because you feel like you're getting pressured into selling something. And I just want to say, like, Jesus is not a product; he's a person, and his love, his peace that surpasses understanding, is able to actually draw you in to figuring out more of who you are and who he's made you to be and the kind of love he has for you.
Such a good word. And I would love to see a revival of that message be preached, where we could tell young people the outflow of your knowledge of God's love for you is that you start to share his love for them.
Yeah.
But you don't put the cart before the horse. And to the extent that you can know this love, will you be spilling it to other people? And it is a beautiful thing. Wow. Lord, may it be, you know. And love this quote from your book. I grabbed a little piece of it and tweeted it today, but you wrote, "We don't lack for methods or strategies for sharing our faith. I think the bigger problem is that our capacity to love is far too small for the mission to which God has invited us. Evangelism freaks us out because we're afraid. We're afraid of being judged, afraid of saying the wrong thing, afraid of offending others. Serving others can be uncomfortable, causing conflict and bringing out our insecurities. Scripture tells us that perfect love casts out fear. Our love is far from perfect. We mess up big time every day. So how do we get more love? We go back to the source of love." I love that, because that's exactly what we've been talking about. So maybe say more about that.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. You introduced me as a regional evangelist for InterVarsity, but in the past month, actually, like this past summer, my family and I took a step of faith and relocated to Kansas City, Missouri, actually Kansas City, Kansas, for me to take a job with Stonecroft Ministries, which helps women to share the gospel with women where they're at, and give them the tools to do that. And just today, I was brainstorming with a colleague about, you know, how to reach these younger women who have been turned off by the church. And we had a lot of plans, and we've had brainstorming sessions. And then at one point we just stopped and said, like, we can't do this. We can't come up with cool enough strategies to draw people in. But what we can do is go to the God of the universe and ask him to open hearts and ask us not to put on some slick program or, you know, have really cool invites, but to say, like, you know what? We realize people are lonely and broken and hurting, and we want to invite you into a community where you can experience love, and you can come and check it out. You can, you know, not check it out if you want to, but we want you to know, like, this is a place where we want you to find love. And so that's what we prayed for, and we're waiting and praying on God to provide the ways to do that. But without his direction, I mean, Psalm 127 says, unless he builds a house, its builders labor in vain. And we have great strategy. We have great tools, but that doesn't matter at all if our hearts aren't filled with love to say, he loves me, and that's how I can love others.
Yeah. Amen. And indeed, well, you've got a chapter in the book titled Experiments in Loving Others. And I felt like I was walking down the street with you as you were just looking this way, looking that way, and envisioning all these.
Welcome to my neighborhood.
Yes. And your world and your brain, right?
my overactive brain.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But give us a little snippet of that. Just an example of what you envision as you walk down the street, as you go about your day.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of how God's wired me, is just to see possibilities everywhere for the gospel to be preached and embodied. And that's a lot of what I talk about in the book, is what does it mean to be embodied? The gospel, you know, God took on flesh in the person of Jesus. And so it's through our flesh and all of our skin tones, shapes and sizes and neighborhoods that the gospel is lived out. And, you know, in doing more intentional ministry with women, I'm picturing these Beauty with a Purpose nights that I hosted one at the University of Michigan last year, and it was coming together to say, how can we look at the teachings of Jesus so we can be beautiful from the inside out? And we had a fun, fun night with, like, mocktails and appetizers and free mini makeovers and trying new beauty products. And I just shared a message about what it's been like for me to find my identity in Jesus and how he's able to free us from the inside out. And the other component of the evening was focusing on how we can all use our resources to help free women from human trafficking and help them become rehabilitated after human trafficking. And so to say, you know, there's internal and external ways people are enslaved. And whether you feel like you can't go a day without makeup because you think you're ugly, or you've been enslaved in a brothel in Malaysia, like, those are forms of bondage, but Jesus can break all of those bonds.
Amen. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll give some just practical steps maybe you can take to love your neighbor, to just share the love of Christ in your sphere of influence. God has delegated authority and influence to you. He has. How will you steward it? How will you use it? More with Jessica Leap Frick in a minute. You know, it does take some faith to step out and to share love with others, to share Christ's love and the good news of the gospel, but it activates something. It does in your spiritual soul and your maturity. You can't grow without faith. And he calls each and every one of us. So talking to Jessica Leap Frick, and I think I said your last name wrong before the break. Sorry about that.
Sure, no problem.
And I'm so glad I pointed it out right now. Anyway, I could have just let it go.
I would say it's thick. It's like kick with an F.
There you go. Perfect. Well, I'm wondering if we could, thanks for your sweetness about that, but wondering if we could talk about just some tangibles for especially maybe the introvert or the person who's just maybe lived their lives protecting their comfort zone because they're so afraid to step out of it. Just some tangibles that they could, first steps they can take that are actually considered evangelism.
Yeah, that is a great question. And I think pretty much all of us like to live a comfortable life. So, I mean, that's me as well. I mean, just having moved to a new city, I'm looking around at my neighbors thinking, like, boy, I could invite them over for dinner and start to get to talk to them. And because I work for a women's ministry, you know, it's pretty easy to have this topic of spirituality come up over, you know, mealtime discussions. I think for people who are, you know, kind of scared to share their faith, want to step out of their comfort zone, a helpful way to think about it is, you know, just baby steps. Like, no one is asking you to preach the gospel in Times Square in New York City. Like, no one is asking you to do that. But there are hurting people all around you who are far from God. And so, you know, a small act of kindness. Like I was part of a MOPS group where we would bring in Cleveland new moms meals, you know, that weren't necessarily part of our church. It was like, hey, I know this mom. She's not really connected to a community. And it just became this incredible witness for these moms and their husbands and families to say, like, who are these women? Like, wait, you're telling me, like, we have three meals coming this week? Like, what is going on here? Who are these women? And, you know, it's that kind of curious life that provokes questions like, why are you doing this? Like, don't you have to cook for yourself? That can bring those conversations. So, I mean, like, that's just the stuff we're supposed to do as Christians, right? Like, live this curious lifestyle. So I don't think it needs to be a weird thing. Like, I'm going to bake this casserole and hope that when I go to their house, they're going to say, like, what a kind person you are. Like, do you follow Jesus? And we can say, yes. And would you like to as well? Like, you know, it just doesn't need to be like that. You serve people with no agenda, without any expectation of what's going to be returned. And as it comes up, you know, to say, like, I'm part of this church where we really believe in living out the teachings of Jesus. And I think for people to start thinking about, like, what's the most appropriate next step for me to start taking, it might be to even just find out, like, who are the people in your life who don't know Jesus? And, you know, sometimes we can just live in our own world, going from, you know, house, our home, to our jobs or to school or, you know, to whatever. And we just forget, like, there's actually people who don't know Jesus and are struggling in this life without him. So I think starting to pray and realize, like, there, who are the people, you know, like, ask the Mr. Rogers question, who are the people in my neighborhood? And, you know, start to build relationships with them. And then I've got some pretty practical tools in my book of, like, offering to pray for folks or inviting them into community. There's a lot that you can learn from folks just sitting around the table and having a meal. And, you know, it just doesn't need to be anything fancy. I think hospitality goes a huge way. And I think a lot of women have gifts of hospitality. We just need to give it over our perfectionistic tendencies to think, like, it's got to be this amazing meal. And, you know, really, like, if you don't have to cook the macaroni and cheese, that's a good night.
Yeah. And even as you mentioned, you tell stories of just, you know, sitting on the plane and having a conversation with somebody and being willing to, if it goes that way, to say, hey, how can I be praying for you? And if they shut you down, I mean, I love that you just sort of follow up, go, oh, so sorry. Did something bad happen? I mean, you're respecting them, you're honoring them, but you're not freaking out and stepping back. So do you pray, Jessica, before you go out, just even and about, do you pray, God, help me be aware of opportunities around me? Is that how you spiritually prepare for that?
Wow, that's a great question, Susie. Sometimes I do. I actually, a lot of times what I do is I'm just in scripture. And I think it's as the word of God feeds me, he just cultivates a spiritual attentiveness in my life. And so if I'm, you know, sometimes I'll just pray, like, Lord, let the scripture be true in my life in whatever that looks like. So today, there was someone in our office who was just feeling really down. She was feeling pretty sick. And another colleague and I just, on our lunch break, decided to go get her flowers and surprise her and just say, like, hey, we hope you feel better and this brings some brightness to your week. And so now I'm telling you this, and she might be listening to it later in life. We were the ones who surprised her. But, I think sometimes it's going with those spur of the moment things. And then other times it's planning things out. I mean, it's a both and, to say, like, Lord, make me aware and make me obedient, whether that is taking a little bit of extra time to actually connect with the sales clerk at Walmart to realize they're a person with needs and wants and pain in their life, and showing them compassion by actually thanking them and recognizing, like, you know, they're a person, too, who needs to meet Jesus.
Really good. I'm going to read this last charge from you from your book, Beautiful Feet, and love to have you pray. You write, what are your fears in living out and sharing your faith? Do you find yourself daydreaming about doing things that feel risky, but you're scared to pursue? It could be anything, inviting a neighbor or friend over for dinner to begin building a relationship, giving time or money to a cause you've become passionate about, responding in the moment to pray for someone, caring for them in a practical way, or encouraging them that Jesus loves them. Thank Jesus that he is near to you and has chosen to send you out as his witness. Pray that Jesus would demonstrate his love for you in a powerful way and that you would have that love and the boldness to tell others about it. Hey, if you need a fresh encounter with God's love, ask him, give me a fresh encounter with your love, and then give me the courage to share. And Jessica, I wonder if you would pray for that person listening today who needs exactly that, both an encounter with the Lord personally, but then the boldness to share about it.
Yes, Jesus, we thank you that you've told us you are always with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And so I pray for women and men that are listening that have been hesitant and fearful to share their faith, that they would really find freedom in you to be who they are, to share who you are outside of the stereotypes, outside of the baggage. Lord, that you would send out thousands and thousands of women and men who would boldly and lovingly share your gospel, and that the world would be changed because of it. We thank you so much for your love for us, and that you choose to use us in your mission to share and live out your gospel, Lord. Bless the people listening today, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Jessica, thanks for joining us today. Appreciated the conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much, Susie.
God bless you, dear. Title again is Beautiful Feet, Unleashing Women to Everyday Witness. We're going to hear a portion of a song from Emmanuel Live about I Will Go. And I pray you'd personalize these words to this wonderful song. I dare you to pray that prayer. Here am I, Lord, send me. He's going to use you in a way that matches your story, matches your gifts, matches your dreams, and will stretch you in a way that's really good for you. I dare you pray that prayer. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast in just a little bit on our website at myfaithradio.com. If you remember, Share starts for us next week. Be praying that God meets us profoundly. We'd love to have you partner with us. Have a blessed day. Remember this. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.